Okay, let's unpack this. You know how every single group chat you're in, like every news feed you scroll through, basically your entire online, and let's be real, offline life is just drowning in memes.
It's constant.
It's totally constant. Like, it's not just a casual thing anymore. It feels like this absolute tsunami of, super specific, often nonsensical, sometimes weirdly profound stuff.
Right, visual text, video clips.
Exactly. We laugh, we share, we definitely cringe sometimes. But have you ever like actually stopped to think what these things are doing to us? For real? Are they just funny pictures? Just a harmless way to kill time between, I don't know, adulting?
Or is there something more going on?
Yeah. Is there something deeper, something, I don't know, kind of insidious about them? Like, are they low-key running our lives? Because honestly, sometimes it feels like they are.
It's a fair question.
So today we're just diving deep into the weird, wild, and frankly a little terrifying world of memes. Specifically, how our source describes them, get this, as cultural nukes disguised as jokes.
Wow. Yeah.
Psychological warfare with SpongeBob fonts.
That's quite a description. SpongeBob fonts.
Right. So this isn't just haha meme funny, We're taking a serious look at their genuine, undeniable, and maybe a little bit chaotic impact on, well, everything.
Okay. So our mission today is basically to dig into the real tea from this really eye-opening source, the viral brain, how memes reshape reality.
Let's get the tea.
Yeah. And our goal for you, the listener, is to kind of give you a shortcut to understanding exactly how these bits of digital content are designed to, well, hijack your brain,
Oh.
and you love it. That's the kicker. And maybe more importantly, what that actually means for how you navigate the internet, how you take in information, maybe even how you see the world.
Right, like the practical implications.
Exactly. We promise you'll leave this deep dive with some real aha moments, some surprising facts, all hopefully without that feeling of info overload you sometimes get with these big digital topics.
Yeah, no jargon dump.
We're going to try and connect the dots between, your casual scrolling and some pretty profound shifts happening in society.
All right, so let's jump right in.
Yeah.
Because our source kicks things off with a pretty audacious claim, and honestly, it tracks.
Okay, what is it?
It says, and I quote, "Memes are mind viruses that run the internet harder than Wi-Fi itself."
Whoa, harder than Wi-Fi. That's bold.
Dead ass. Like,
Yeah.
think about it. If my internet goes out, I'm annoyed, sure.
Yeah.
But if I can't send or receive a meme, it feels like a fundamental communication breakdown.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild.
Yeah.
And the source really digs into how these seemingly innocent little images and clips impact like everything, how we think about stuff, how we might actually vote.
Really? Voting?
Yeah, or even just how we process like deep emotions, crying, laughing. They shape our coping mechanisms. And yeah, they definitely let us clown our boss in the group chat with that perfect reaction gif.
Okay, the boss clowning I get, but the voting and the thinking.
It's a whole spectrum of influence, apparently,
Yeah.
from the mundane to the major.
So, why does the source use such strong language, though? Psychological warfare with SpongeBob fonts. Why frame it like that beyond just, funny internet stuff?
That's a good question. What's the thinking there?
Well, I think framing it that way immediately shifts your perception, right? It's not just a silly little guy or a goofy cat pic you chuckle at and scroll past.
Right.
That language forces you to consider the underlying intent, maybe the potential for manipulation, the sheer power packed into these little digital things. The idea is that the playful, often absurd surface of a meme kind of disarms our critical thinking.
Like a Trojan horse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're laughing, so you're not really scrutinizing the message inside. And that lets potentially potent, maybe even divisive ideas slip past our usual mental filters. It makes them incredibly effective tools for subtle influence.
Totally. And it makes you wonder, right? Like, how many memes have you seen today, even just this week, that maybe in retrospect kind of subtly shifted how you felt about something, or even just your mood?
Oh, for sure.
You see a meme about, I don't know, the existential dread of adulting, and suddenly your own worries feel validated, or maybe minimized, or just seen.
Yeah, it's that shared
It's
feeling.
more than just a laugh. It's like this tiny, powerful dose of shared reality, often without exchanging a single word. You're not just seeing content, you're tapping into something collective.
And what's really wild here, is that the concept of the meme itself, it actually predates the internet by decades, which surprises a lot of people.
Wait, really? Before the internet?
Yeah, the word was coined back in 1976 by the biologist Richard Dawkins, actually, in his book, The Selfish Gene.
Dawkins, like the evolution guy.
That's the one. He envisioned the meme not as an internet joke, obviously, but as a cultural gene. So an idea, a piece of info, an element of culture that spreads from brain to brain, kind of like a biological gene.
Oh, okay.
He described it as evolving with each transmission. The source uses the analogy like Pokemon with Wi-Fi, constantly adapting and changing as it moves through society.
Pokemon with Wi-Fi. I like that.
So yeah, the internet definitely put it on hyperdrive, but the basic idea, that mechanism of cultural spread, that's been around way longer than fiber optics.
Okay, wait. So memes were a thing before cat videos and Rickrolls. No cap. That's kind of blowing my mind right now.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you think how deep this stuff runs in, like, human behavior.
Precisely. And if you connect this to the bigger picture, you can see examples throughout history. Think about ancient Roman graffiti.
Like on the walls in Pompeii.
Exactly. Scrawled on walls. Those were early forms of cultural transmission, shared jokes, political digs, just personal declarations, I was here kind of thing. They were basically ancient memes passed along by sight or word of mouth.
Huh. Never thought of graffiti like that.
Or think even further back, like cave paintings. The source has this great line about dudes spearing buffalo and drawing crude stick figures on walls.
Okay.
It argues these aren't just art. They're primal shared cultural expressions, ways to communicate ideas, stories, maybe even humor within a community.
Right. Shared symbol.
And fast forward to, say, World War II, you had Kilroy was here.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. The little bald guy peeking over a wall.
That's him. A simple doodle and phrase that became a global meme. GIs drew it everywhere, on battlefields, across continents, way before modems existed. It was this huge inside joke, a sign of connection and solidarity in chaos.
Wow. A pre-internet global meme.
It really shows this innate human drive, right, to create and share these easily replicable bits of culture that resonate with a lot of people.
So the internet didn't invent memes. It just gave them a serious glow up, like the ultimate upgrade, boosted the signal like crazy.
Totally. The internet didn't invent it, but it absolutely, and I love this imagery from the source, it turned the dial up to 100 and snapped the knob off.
Okay. Yeah, that captures it.
And the reasons are pretty clear, right? Instant global reach. An idea could hit every continent in seconds, not years.
Right.
The ease of replication. Click, tap, share.
Yeah.
Effortless. You don't need artistic skill like drawing Kilroy. You just hit repost.
Two. Very low effort.
And crucially, the low barrier to entry. Anyone, anywhere with basic photo or video apps could suddenly create and share. That combination just created the perfect storm for memes to become this dominant force of cultural exchange we see today, constantly evolving, spreading like wildfire.
Okay, so if memes have kind of always been with us in some form, when did they go full Super Saiyan? You know, when did they start genuinely messing with reality?
Right, the inflection point.
Our source points to the early 2010s as this era of pixels and chaos, where memes really started showing their power. Like, remember Harlem Shape?
Oh, God, yes. 2013, unavoidable.
It was everywhere. Schools, offices, news crews were doing it. It got so incredibly viral, so pervasive, that Billboard, like the music chart people, they actually had to change their charting rules because user-generated videos using the song were skewing everything.
Wait, really? They changed the Billboard charts?
Yeah, that's not just a funny video anymore. That's immediate, tangible, real-world consequences. A goofy dance meme literally forced a major industry to change how it measures success.
That's actually wild. It shows the scale immediately.
Totally warped their metrics.
And building on that, another huge example from around then is the ice bucket challenge. Remember that?
Oh, definitely. Everyone was dumping ice water on their heads.
It seems like just a goofy water stunt, right? But it transformed into this massive global fundraising effort. The source points out it generated something like $115 million for ALS research.
Wow, $115 million. From that.
Yeah, it wasn't just a fleeting trend. It harnessed those social media dynamics, that shareability, for huge real-world impact.
How'd it work so well?
Well, the genius was its simplicity, right? Easy to understand, easy to do, and that public challenge aspect created this powerful chain reaction. I nominate so-and-so.
The nomination peer pressure. Gotcha.
It showed how a meme could go beyond just entertainment to actual, like, tangible philanthropy, online virality translating into massive offline generosity.
I totally remember those days. You couldn't scroll for 5 minutes without seeing someone getting soaked or, like, a random group flailing to Harlem Shake.
Completely unavoidable.
It felt like if you weren't doing it, or at least acknowledging it, you were totally missing out on the biggest inside joke on the planet. They just soaked into everything.
Exactly. And that early viral energy then escalated into something maybe even more disruptive, hitting high finance directly, Which brings us to the GameStop saga in 2021.
Oh boy. GameStop. Diamond hands. To the moon.
Right. The source calls this a literal meme impacting Wall Street, turning the financial world kind of upside down. It all started on Reddit. Specifically, that subreddit are Wall Street Bets.
Yeah, Wall Street Bets. Legends or lunatics, depending on who you ask.
Well, it was this collective internet effort, fueled by concepts like diamond hands, holding a stock no matter what, and those rocket emojis.
To the moon!
Symbolizing hope for a stock surge. And it led to massive hedge funds losing billions of dollars. Billions!
Because of Reddit posts and emojis, it still sounds insane when you say it out loud. Yeah. Like average people with Robinhood accounts just decided to mess with hedge funds.
Yeah.
And kind of won.
For a time, yeah. It was this decentralized, meme-driven movement, a mix of like genuine belief in the stock, a lot of ironic humor, and this collective desire to challenge the big guys.
Peak internet, really.
Precisely. And the source describes these actions as digital Molotov cocktails.
Okay, strong imagery again. Molotovs.
It really makes you ask, how could something that started as just jokes, as internet trolling almost, caused such massive economic disruption.
Right. How did that happen?
It just highlighted this new emergent power of decentralized collective action, all coordinated through online communities and, well, memes. The short sellers, the big institutions betting against GameStop, got caught in this unprecedented short squeeze orchestrated by thousands of individual investors.
Coordinated chaos.
It showed a new kind of economic and social leverage that was totally outside the traditional financial playbook, previously unimaginable, really.
So what does that mean going forward? Like, can anyone with Wi-Fi just disrupt Wall Street now? Or other big systems?
That's the big question, isn't it? The GameStop thing fundamentally challenged the idea that only traditional institutions hold that kind of power. It proved that collective will, fueled by memes and online communities, can actually move mountains, or at least stock prices. It opens up all sorts of possibilities and maybe dangers for the future.
Okay, so we've established memes are powerful. They can move markets, change chart rules. But why? Why do our brains just absolutely devour them?
Yeah, what's the neurological hook?
Our source says memes hit your brain like candy.
Yeah.
And honestly, that tracks so hard. They're short. They're emotional. They're easy to share. It's like the perfect recipe for instant gratification.
Totally. And the core mechanism here is our brain's reward system, dopamine.
Ah, dopamine, the magic chemical.
Exactly. Every time you encounter a meme, your brain registers it like, ah, yes, dopamine snack.
A snack, I like that.
And there are layers to this reward. First, you recognize a familiar format, right? A specific character, a template you've seen before. That's a quick dopamine hit. Recognition feels good.
Oh. Okay, yeah. Like seeing an old friend.
Then you instantly get the joke, maybe even feel clever for getting it quickly. That's an extra dopamine hit.
Uh-huh.
Understanding, mastery.
Right, feeling smart.
But the real jackpot, according to the source, is when you share that meme and someone replies with LMAO or the crying laughing emoji.
Oh, yeah, the validation.
That social validation triggers a massive dopamine release. Jackpot. It reinforces the whole behavior see meme, get joke, share meme, get validation.
So our brains are basically wired to love this cycle.
Pretty much. From an evolutionary standpoint, quick pattern recognition and social connection were super important for survival. So memes tap into those ancient pathways, offering these quick, reliable bursts of pleasure that keep us coming back for more. It's a beautifully engineered feedback loop, really.
So it's not just that they're funny, it's that my brain is literally rewarding me for scrolling and sharing memes. No wonder I can lose hours to it.
Mm.
It really is like my own personal slot machine. But instead of cherries and lemons, it's just endless sad frogs and, I don't know, skim-a-mail edits.
Mm. That's a perfect analogy, actually, because the source draws that direct parallel.
Mm.
It's the same loop as gambling. Slot machine, but with a sad frog or a sigma male edit.
Wow. Gambling. That hits different.
It's powerful because it highlights how our brains are inherently wired to seek out these intermittent, unpredictable rewards. Just like a slot machine, you don't win every time, but the possibility keeps you pulling the lever.
Right. The next scroll might be the hilarious one.
Exactly. You don't love every meme, but the occasional viral hit, the perfect share, that unexpected laugh gives just enough reward to keep you scrolling, keep you engaged.
Which makes us vulnerable, I guess.
Extremely vulnerable to meme-driven influence.
Mm-hmm.
Because the platforms we use, they're expertly designed to exploit this. Meme consumption isn't just a side effect. It's core to their engagement strategy. Keep the dopamine flowing. Keep the users scrolling.
Okay, big yikes. So that compulsive urge I feel sometimes to just keep scrolling, even when I know I should, like touch grass, it's not just boredom or weak willpower. It's literally my brain chemistry being manipulated by the platform design and the memes themselves.
It seems like it's a finely tuned neurological response honed by, years of this kind of digital interaction.
That's low-key terrifying, actually. Makes you question how much choice is involved.
It really does. How much of our online engagement is free will versus these optimized reward systems? And if our brains get so hooked on these short emotional bursts, what does that do to our ability to handle like complex, nuanced information that doesn't give you that instant dopamine snack?
Yeah, like reading a book
Right.
or a long article. Less dopamine there.
Much less.
Okay, but do memes really change stuff in the real world beyond making us dopamine fiends?
Yeah.
Fresh, concrete changes.
Beyond the individual brain, yeah.
Our source says absolutely yes. He claims memes aren't just jokes anymore. They're weapons, currencies, and group passwords.
Weapons, currencies, and passwords. Okay, that's a lot for a cat picture.
Right. But look at the examples. Think about the Arab Spring back in the early 2010s. The source mentions how protesters used memes to mock dictators.
Mocking dictators.
By circulating images that made these powerful, often feared figures seem ridiculous or weak. And the source asks, what happens when you start laughing at power?
It lowers the fear.
Exactly. It lowers fear, it empowers people to challenge authority in a way that maybe a traditional protest sign doesn't quite capture. The humor is like a shield, but the message hits hard, builds solidarity, chips away at that mystique of power.
That makes sense. Humor is a weapon.
Totally. And that influence stretches right into elections. The source highlights figures like Duterte in the Philippines and Bolsonaro in Brazil.
Okay, controversial figures.
Right. And it says they essentially rode meme trains to election wins. Their campaigns were super effective at leveraging the organic, shareable nature of memes to spread their messages, build this powerful online presence, often really connecting with younger digital native voters.
So memes replaced campaign slogans almost.
Kind of. They allow them to communicate complex stances or maybe just a general vibe in this really digestible, shareable format that just resonated.
Wow. Okay.
And then there's the even more insidious example of Ferdinand Bongbong Marcos Jr., also in the Philippines.
What did he do?
According to the source, his campaign used nostalgic meme edits to scrub history squeaky clean.
Scrub history clean, like historical revisionism via meme.
Exactly. It wasn't just about winning. It was about actively changing how people perceive the past, making a really problematic family history seem palatable, maybe even cool or desirable, to a new generation through these slick, nostalgic meme formats.
That's deeply concerning, blurring history and entertainment.
It really is. It shows this profound, subtle use of memes for managing perception and rewriting narratives.
So politicians aren't just running ads, they're building movements on relatable images and inside jokes.
Pretty much. It's a whole new playbook. Less about policy details, more about hitting that shared emotional note or inside joke. Like, who needs a dense manifesto when you've got a viral TikTok sound that captures your whole platform's vibe?
And it goes beyond politics too, right? Into just everyday information.
Oh, yeah. Think about COVID. The source drops this line. You probably learned about masks from a meme before the news.
Did I? Maybe.
Think about the early days of the pandemic. Official channels were maybe slow or confusing, but simplified, easy-to-digest memes were flying around communicating crucial public health messages or, let's be honest, misinformation with insane speed.
Right, memes are faster than press conferences.
Way faster. And if a viral meme can teach you or misteach you about masks faster than the CDC or the evening news, that points to a massive shift in who we trust for information. Kind of erodes the authority of those traditional institutions.
Definitely changes the information landscape.
And then there's the absolutely surreal story of Dogecoin.
Yes, Doge. Wow, much coin. So crypto.
The Shiba Inu. This cryptocurrency was famously explicitly made as a joke, like a total piss take on serious crypto.
Yeah, I remember that. It was meant to be silly.
Yet the source just hammers this home. Now it's been worth billions, BILIONS,
Oh,
because of a Shiba Inu.
billions with a B for a joke coin based on a dog meme. My brain still struggles with that.
It's absolutely bananas. I remember those Doge memes popping up, like, wow, it's such currency. And now it's actual serious money influencing markets. It breaks my brain.
It really pushes the boundaries of traditional economics, doesn't it? And this connects to that bigger idea the source keeps circling back to. Memes aren't side quests. they're the main story now.
The main quest. Love that.
These examples, protest, health info, global finance, they all show this profound erosion of traditional authorities. News outlets, banks, political parties are all competing for attention against these decentralized, often chaotic, meme-driven narratives.
So it raises the question.
Exactly. Are we entering an era where verifiable facts, carefully reported, actually matter less than a really well-crafted, emotionally sticky meme?
Oh, God. I hope not.
What does that mean for the future of news, finance, politics, if the most viral thing, regardless of truth, can sway opinions and markets? It suggests, maybe, that cultural relevance, that memeability, is becoming a new kind of capital, maybe even more powerful than the old kinds.
Okay, so this is wild. Now linguists are getting involved.
Yeah.
And no cap, they're saying memes are literally a new dialect.
A dialect, not just slang.
Yeah, like a whole communication system. Our source nails it. You ever text a meme to someone instead of explaining your feelings? It's not lazy. It's compressed language.
Compressed language. Okay.
Think about it. Sending that "this is fine" dog meme, that conveys a whole novel of suppressed panic, existential dread, maybe grim acceptance.
Right. The dog in the burn room says it all.
Or just sheesh. That one word, depending on context, the image can mean surprise, annoyance, admiration.
It's incredibly context dependent.
And I'm just a little guy. That's a whole mood. Humility, self-deprecation, maybe strategic helplessness, all packed into one visual vibe. It's a paragraph, an emotion, a scenario distilled.
And the technical term for that, the source brings up, is multimodal communication.
Multimodal.
Meaning you're not just using words. You're mixing visuals, tone, cultural references, timing, all creating this rich, layered message. It's like modern hieroglyphics.
Hieroglyphics. I like that. Pictures telling complex stories.
Super efficient, right. Allows for rapid exchange of complex ideas or feelings. And connecting this to the social side, it creates this dynamic where knowing the latest format, social currency.
Oh, definitely. You got to keep up.
If someone doesn't speak meme, if they don't get the references, they feel like an NPC.
An NPC, a non-playable character. Brutal.
Right. Someone not quite in on the main cultural quest. It's not just about trends. It's about belonging, understanding, participating in that online tribal culture. It's the key to in-group status, shared identity, signals you're part of the collective flow.
So if you don't get the meme, you're not just out of the loop. You're kind of an outsider.
Yeah.
Wow. Language evolving right in front of us, creating new social lines based on digital fluency.
And that leads us straight to the psychologist's take. They view memes as emotional viruses.
Emotional viruses. Okay, that sounds bad.
Well, their point is that our brains are, in their words, vulnerable by design to these things. Memes are expertly crafted to exploit these vulnerabilities.
What are the mechanisms?
Okay, several things. First, as we talked about, they hijack the reward system. Those dopamine hits keep you hooked, like predictive coding saying, yes, this is good, more please.
Gotcha. Dopamine again.
Second, they trigger our primal tribal instincts, that feeling of, if I get the joke, I belong, reinforces social bonds within online groups, validates your worldview.
The in-group feeling.
Right. And third, they are masters at compressing complex emotions into shareable pixels.
Mm-hmm.
Heartbreak, burnout, rage, existential dread, the source is blunt. There's a meme for it.
There really is. A meme for everything.
It allows for this super quick, almost effortless emotional sharing and validation. Creates a sense of shared experience, even if that experience is like universal burnout.
Okay, that makes sense. But then there's the curse part, as this source calls
it. Ah, yes, the cursed part.
This genuinely unsettling finding. The more emotionally unstable you are, the better memes hit.
Oof. Yeah.
That's dark.
Seriously dark. Like, are memes actively preying on vulnerability?
Well, it certainly forces us to think about the ethical side, right? Are we maybe unknowingly just bathing ourselves in constant emotional manipulation by engaging so much with meme culture?
Mm.
It makes you reflect on the psychological impact of a communication style that thrives on hitting quick emotional notes, especially if it works better on people who might already be more susceptible to outside emotional influence.
Yeah. It's not just humor anymore. It's about the very wiring of our emotional processing in this digital age that comfort and validation memes offer. It could also be a pathway for, you know, deeper, maybe negative psychological effects, making us more receptive to narratives that tap into whatever strong emotion we're feeling at the moment.
Okay, so linguists, psychologists. Now, the sociologists are here.
Yeah.
And they're looking at memes as basically the new Folk culture.
Folk culture, like fairy tales and stuff.
Yeah, forget Hansel and Gretel. Memes are how Gen Z tells stories, builds identity, navigates social rules now. They're not just jokes. They're building tribes. The source uses the example, we're all rizzed out DeLulu queens.
Rizzed out DeLulu queens, okay.
It's a shared identity, right? Shorthand for belonging to a certain online mindset. And memes enforce norms, too, like touch grass.
Right, meaning get offline, stop posting so much.
Exactly. It's the digital go outside.
Yeah.
We're talking about main character energy. It's both something people want and something people mock. Memes define what's cool, what's cringe, what's us.
So they shape behavior within the group.
Totally. But then there's the dark side again. The source points out memes can and do even spread propaganda.
Ah, back to the propaganda angle.
Yeah. Think about the 2016 U.S. election and the Russian troll farms. The chilling point the source makes is they didn't need tanks. They just used Facebook memes.
Cheaper, faster, more viral.
Exactly. It highlights this huge shift in information warfare, political influence. Instead of obvious political ads, they crafted funny or relatable or maybe outrage-inducing memes that quietly pushed specific narratives.
And people shared them without realizing.
Often, yeah. They were designed to be shared organically, slipping past traditional media filters, creating these echo chambers where certain viewpoints just got amplified like crazy. And the conclusion from the source is stark. Memes run elections now. That's not hyperbole. It reflects a reality where subtle, culturally sticky content can potentially sway elections more effectively than big-budget traditional campaigns. It's changing politics itself. So instead of clear arguments, it's this. Insidious meme-based drip feed shaping how we see the world and who we vote for. That's genuinely unsettling, especially thinking how easily it can spread without accountability.
A culture war fought with JPEGs and GIFs.
Yeah. Okay, so if sociologists are looking at culture, what about the economic angle?
Well, this is where the source brings in a hypothetical Karl Marx reaction. Imagine Marx looking at the meme era. The source says he'd have a meltdown.
Marx meltdown, why?
Because his core critique would nail the free labor and exploitation angle, the source puts it perfectly. You, the creator, make the meme. Platform gets the clout and money. That's free labor, king.
Oof. Free labor, king.
Yeah.
They sell Cheems merch, you get 12 likes.
That hits home. We make the stuff. The platforms get rich. Exactly. It exposes that core dynamic where our collective creativity, our user-generated content, fuels these massive platforms. Facebook, Insta, TikTok, it drives their engagement, their ad revenue, while the actual creators often get little or nothing tangible back.
Right. Likes don't pay the rent.
It's a classic example of digital capitalism extracting huge value from unpaid labor, turning our culture into their capital.
So we're all just unpaid interns for the algorithm, getting paid in dopamine hits while Meta and Google cash the real checks. Feels about right. It's like work, but fun, so we don't notice we're working.
Pretty much sums it up, and capitalism loves memes for this reason. They drive ironic products, fast trends, viral drops.
Oh yeah, brands jumping on meme trends 5 minutes after they peak.
Exactly. Memes offer this endless stream of cultural relevance that brands can quickly try to monetize through merch, ads, rapid product cycles, trying to capture that viral magic.
But can memes fight back? Like, can we use them against the system?
Well, that's the interesting counterbalance the source brings up, but also, meme stocks and crypto pumps are proof that people can use memes to punch back.
Ah, GameStop again. Sticking it to the man. Kinda.
Yeah. Even if, as the source Riley notes, it's sometimes in the face, sometimes in their own face, but still.
Huh. True. Sometimes it backfires spectacularly.
It highlights that dual nature, right?
Yeah.
Memes can be tools for exploitation by capital, but they also hold this potential for collective action, for disruption, letting decentralized groups challenge big financial and power structures, even if the results are messy or unpredictable.
So they're both part of the machine and a potential wrench in the work.
Exactly. Which forces us to think about the future of labor, creative rights, online activism. All these lines are getting super blurry in this meme-driven economy where we're all consumers, creators, and sometimes activists all at once. Hashtag tag outro.
Wow. Okay. So we've really gone on a trip here. From like silly cat pics to actual cultural nukes and psychological warfare.
It's quite the spectrum.
It feels clear now that memes aren't just content we scroll past. They're active things.
Right.
Mental shortcuts, emotional venting machines, and yeah, honestly, culture's main character right now.
They're at the center of so much.
It's all connected. Your slang probably started as a meme.
Mm-hmm.
How you get your news. Increasingly filtered through memes or even broken by memes first.
Yeah.
Your coping mechanism for just gestures broadly all this.
Definitely memes.
Totally memes. We don't just see memes anymore. We actually think in memes now, right? We perceive the world, communicate through their specific logic, their shorthand.
Mm-hmm. They've become deeply embedded in how we process things.
Shaping how we understand reality itself.
And that brings us perfectly to the source's final, kind of unsettling thought, which really wraps it all up. So yeah, the memes aren't just funny. They're literally reshaping how humans exist.
Literally reshaping how humans exist. That's huge.
And the scariest part, you kind of love it.
Oof. Yeah. We do kind of love it, don't we? Even the cursed parts.
And that's the invitation, really, for you, the listener, to maybe observe your own meme-pilled existence, as the source might put it.
How meme-pilled am I? Good question.
How much of your reality, your feelings, your understanding of stuff is now filtered through and actively shaped by meme logic? As this digital folk culture keeps evolving at warp speed, what other changes are coming for how we think, communicate, even feel?
Yeah, what's next?
And what does it mean for our future if the biggest shifts are happening not through grand speeches or institutions, but through, like, ironic SpongeBob images and shared inside jokes online? It's something to think about.